God bless saints. I'm gonna try to sing a song for the honor of God. Listen to the words, don't listen to my voice, please. A desire is burning in my heart to draw closer to you, Lord. I've been living too far apart, obedient I want to be. You living inside of me. I know you settle for nothing less than to look at me and see yourself. So hide me away, oh Lord, in your bosom I want to be. Into your secret place, it's my deepest desire, Lord. Oh, all of you, oh Lord, I'm crying out prayerfully. I'm seeking your holy face for all that you promised me. Lord, I had many victories before. Now I see this world is shaking. My life is shaking. Lord, I need you even more. The enemy's at the door. He's determined to destroy me. But I will live a victorious life like Jesus Christ, Lord. Take all that is not of me. So hide me away, oh Lord. In your bosom I want to be. Into your secret place. It's my deepest desire, Lord. Oh, all of you, oh Lord. I'm crying out prayerfully. I'm seeking your holy face for all that you promised me. So hide me away, oh Lord. In your bosom I want to be. Into your secret place. It's my deepest desire, Lord. Oh, all of you, oh Lord. I'm crying out prayerfully. I'm seeking your holy face for all that you promised me. So hide me away, oh Lord. Hide me away, oh Lord. So hide me away, oh Lord. Hide me away, oh Lord.
Hide me away, oh Lord. Thank you. Words, so much meaning.
Loving God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Amen.
You can be seated just for a few minutes. Appreciate that. On Friday night, we were talking on the subject, insufficient funds. And Ram was just kind of bringing the point out as we were climbing the chart here, Statue of a Perfect Man. And we started with faith and worked with virtue on Friday night. And Brother Branham said, if somebody were to come to us looking for virtue, would they receive insufficient funds? And, you know, because Jesus, when, you know, he wasn't looking for the lady, he just began to just through the streets responding to requests from Jairus. And as he was walking, you know, on his way to Jairus' house, this woman that had spent everything she had and that come to a spot where she said, you know, I've tried all the doctors and they haven't been able to help. I have spent all my money. I got one last hope. And, you know, and I understand Jesus is in my city. And so if I could just somehow press my way through the crowd and get to the back of him and just touch the hem of his garment, then I know, right? That's different than I hope, right? So now I'm going to go through all this. I barely got strength. But I'm going to somehow press my way behind this man. And if I just touch, he ain't got to say one word to me, right? He don't even have to look at me, right? But if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then my faith says I will be made whole. I've been dealing with it for 12 years, but if I touch him, it's going to be over. Come on, somebody. I don't care what you've been dealing with, but if you just get a touch of the Lord Jesus, whatever you're dealing with going to come to an end. You got faith the way she had faith. If I just touch him, I'm telling you, this thing gonna be done. And you know, the Bible say immediately her situation changed. And Jesus stopped in the crowd and say, now, who touched me? Who did that? And the disciples say, now, Jesus, now you see all these people touching you. Now, how are you going to ask a question like this and you don't understand what I'm talking about, Peter? Because she didn't touch me the way everybody else just touched me. They just happy that a healer came through town. Right? You know, they just happy that, you know, somebody famous came through town. But this lady had a need. And she touched with a need, with faith. And, you know, and I felt virtue, which is powerful service. See, she didn't, her check didn't bounce. A check didn't bounce. It was sufficient funds. It was sufficient funds in the account. And say, so, you know, she said, you know, he said, look, I don't know who did it, but somebody touched me. And he just stood there and just started looking through the crowd and looking, finally caught eyes with her eyes and said, okay, she the one. She began to confess what she had gone through. And so that's why I just had to touch you. I mean, you probably couldn't come to my house because of the condition that I had. I couldn't go to church because of the condition that I had. But I knew if I just touch you, then that thing would be all settled. He said, go away, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Oh, my God. If we could just touch him, church. If we could just touch him, I tell you, he's still waiting to be touched. Amen. But we were preaching on insufficient funds. You can be seated, amen. But, you know, we were preaching. So, you know, we want people, when they come in contact with us, if they have need, then we want them to be able to draw, amen, from what God has given us. And, you know, we should not be, the check should be bouncing when they, come on now, when they bring it to you, it should be bouncing. You know, you adopted son and daughter of God, and you should be able to take the check and, amen, and get some results. Come on now. When you don't have no money in the bank, right, and you're writing checks, you write without confidence, right? You write without faith, and you just kind of like, boy, I hope, boy, I pray that that check don't get there before the money get there, right, that's not the way that we're supposed to be. Come on, especially when, I mean, when it comes to the things of God, we should be walking in abundance. Oh my God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living a million miles beneath my privileges. Come on, I'm tired of it. Man, I mean, my God is a big God. My God's a great God. Man, I'm the son of a king. You know, the king controls the entire domain. And I'm not going to sit here worried and amen and thinking about this and thinking about God got the thing under control. Jesus. Hallelujah, church. Amen. But it's time for us to rise up and be who we are in Christ, right? Amen. I asked the church on Friday night, say, anybody here ever stay up at night wondering whether the sun going to rise? Anybody stay up at night wondering, well, when am I going to see the moon? You know, I mean, I ain't seen the moon in days. You know the moon is there. Even though clouds may be blocking it, even though clouds may be blocking the sun, you know that sun is there. Right? I mean, you got faith that it's there. So if you got faith in the sun, you got faith in the moon. God that controls the sun and controls the moon controls everything about you too. Man, don't you be up at night worried about nothing. Come on, I mean, don't worry about the mortgage payment. Huh? Don't worry about the car payment. Don't worry. Don't worry about whether you're gonna be healed or not. You already healed. The bill is already paid. Your family's already saved. Come on now, you ain't got to be worried about nothing. Your God is in control. Thank you, Jesus. When they come, we don't want them going back with insufficient funds. Amen. We want to make sure, because it's already been deposited into us, church. We just need to do something with what we got. But we just appreciate the Lord. I want to thank God for all the specials, amen, that went forth here today. I think it was yesterday, probably a Friday, and I was saying, you know, my daughter Sarah, you know, she don't have the same. God has given her that gift, but I said maybe sometimes she can just play her violin for us. And I was just thanking it. And here this morning she come in and play a violin special for us. And I say, well, praise the Lord. I mean, God knows your every thoughts. And he's concerned about them, right? I mean, he's concerned about every thought that you have. And I just appreciate that. And Brother Caleb, we appreciate you. And Sister Michelle, we appreciate you. Amen on today. The Lord richly bless you all. I want to go through our announcements here. And I wanted to also just welcome Brother Reynold Florexel. Is that right? Amen. God bless you, Brother Reynold. This is Sister Sam's uncle. Is that right? So good to have you in fellowship with us on today. God richly bless you. Amen. Thank you so much. Just remember on tonight, amen, we're going to Pinnacle Palms, amen, at 5:30. And just keep us in prayer. Last week we actually had some of the residents, amen, come out to service. And, we're just going to keep going until God say otherwise. But we just, you know, we feel like it's our responsibility, amen, to take the gospel into all the world. That's what the scripture tells us, preach the gospel in all the world. And it's one thing for us to travel overseas and, amen, and all over the United States and preaching the gospel. We got a job to do right here at home. Right, so you know we feel like Pinnacle Palms is a way that we can fulfill what God told us to fulfill. We never know who we're going to come in contact with there, but we're believing by faith that we're going to baptize somebody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's just one person that comes out of it, then it's worth it all. Amen. And then also our radio broadcast, it must continue forward. Right, you know it costs us a pretty good amount of money. To do that radio broadcast, it's like $90 every time we go on the radio for those 30 minutes. But I believe God's going to reach somebody, at least Palm Beach County. And let me say Palm Beach County, Martin County, Brevard County, Hendry County. All of those counties will have to answer to God. because the word is going forth, amen, in those counties, right? It is going forward. So, you know, and our job is just to bring the word forth to each and every one that we can. And if you don't, if you tell people just listening on the radio, you might not be able to get into church, but, you know, just listening on the radio, take one of the flyers and give it to them and just encourage them, you know, and they'll be right a part of our services just by hearing it. But I just believe somebody's going to come forth from that at some point in time. And if we don't see it on this side, when we get to the other side, we might hear testimony. You know, I used to listen to your radio broadcast, and it just gave me strength. And you just don't know what it did for me. And I thank God. So, you know, church, our work is not in vain. Amen. We will be rewarded for all that we do. Praise the Lord. All right. So I think that's all I'm supposed to announce. Thank y'all so much. Amen. For your service today. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. I'll read a scripture or two, and amen, and we'll just go right into the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think I'll start Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Amen. And the last few verses of scripture, we'll read that today. And then also I'll read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 on today. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 22 and 16, we'll start there. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Sharon, amen, and her mother, so good to see them. And we got a package from you. We appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. And our precious brother from Brother West Coast Church, I believe, so good to see you today. God bless you. Good to have you, amen, in fellowship with us. All right, Revelation 22 and verse 16 says this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. We were talking about this a few weeks ago when we were preaching on God as a son. And just that scripture alone, I am the root and the offspring. The root is where things start from, right? And so how can Jesus be the root and offspring of David? It just really, when you really think about those words, they don't make a lot of sense. The only way it could make sense is if Jesus was God. Because God is the root of all things. Right, and the offspring, I mean, he came through that lineage, you know, where David kind of sprung up from. He came right through that as well. So, you know, the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see here. I'll just read one verse from there. 2 Timothy 3 and just verse 16 is all I want to read there. I'm sorry, 16 and 17. All right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. The Lord is a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Amen. Before we embark upon our thought for today. Father, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to stand and read the word of God. But Lord, our trust is that you would reveal to us what we have read today. And that you would just bless, Lord, our approach. May you take control over this portion of the service. Thank you for everything that has happened thus far. And God, we just ask that you'd also be involved in this. Strengthen us through your word, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Glory to his name. I'm going to take for a topic today, God is in his word. Amen. God is in his word. It just seems like everywhere I've been turning lately, I just keep hearing more and more about, you know, God and seeing more and more about God. I'm convinced that he is in his people. I'm convinced that he is in nature. I'm convinced, amen, that he is in his son. I'm convinced that he is in his universe. And I'm also convinced that God is in his word. Amen. If ever we get to a spot where we're just trying to figure out, well, where is God? I need a word from the Lord. Or whatever you do, just take your Bible and just begin to read, and you'll find that God is right there in the midst of his word. You know, we were... my wife and I went to a little conference, and a gentleman up there speaking, and he made a comment about an atheist, a French atheist. I cannot think of the man's name at this time, but some years ago, this French atheist, Voltaire. Okay, thank you so much. This French atheist, he stood up and he said, you know what, 100 years from now, the Bible won't even exist. You say the Bible, I mean, there'd be no need for a Bible. All these people that's believing in God and, you know, and all of that, you know, trust me, that Bible won't even be around 100 years from now. So, you know, and people begin to kind of take what this guy was saying, and you know, but, you know, him being an atheist and not believing in God, one day he died. And they said after he died, within 100 years of where he was living while he was on the earth, they had turned his house into a Bible press. Amen. So the same man that lived in that house, underneath that roof, saying that there would be, you know, 100 years from now, there'd be no more Bibles. They were producing Bibles. Amen. Out of his house. Right. You know, I mean, so you know, the thing, there's something about the word of God.
Yes, sir.
Right. And I think it's, you know, we need to understand the power that's in the word of God. Amen. The way that things can change by having the right approach with the word of God. You know, if we just took it not just as little stories or anything like that, but this is the living word of God.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And if we had to, I mean, if we approach it right, then we'll see the same results that people saw in scripture, because God has no respect of persons. They made a statement here, you know, and I went and just kind of pulled this up on the internet. They said that the Bible is unique. There's no other book like it, right? There's, I mean, no matter, I don't care how many bestsellers they have on the market, there's nothing that's been able to outsell the Bible.
Amen.
Come on now, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. When trouble comes, people know where to go.
Right.
They're not looking for some novel, right? They're not looking for some love story.
Right.
But when trouble comes, people go find a Bible, right?
Right.
They want to know, what does the Bible say? And when we're asking, what does the Bible say, then we're also asking, what does God have to say about it? Because this is not man's word. Man might have penned it, but man was inspired by God. Huh? Come on now. I mean, man can write these words by himself. God would have to inspire him to write it. And words that would not just last for that man's day or that man's time, but words that would speak for generations ahead. There's no words like these words. Hallelujah, church. Amen. If we ever want to find God, just look for him
in his word. Amen. They made a comment, say the Bible is unique because it was written by over 40 authors. Over a 1,500 year span, which is 40 generations. It was also written on three different continents and also in three different languages. Right here's 40 different authors over 1,500 year span, which is 40 generations on three different continents and three different languages. And then when you start reading, you can't find contradictions. Come on now. I mean, only God could put something like that together. Only God can inspire men. A man can be on this continent and write one thing. A man can be on another continent and write something else. But it's all pointing to the same thing. Only God can do that. Even I don't even know the language that you speak, but God knows your language. And it still puts it there for all of us to be able to read. There's no book like this book. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to be ashamed to carry my Bible. Glory to God. All right, now. You know, I think I was teasing the kids a few weeks ago, you know, because now we got Bibles on our cell phones, and it's so cool, you know, just to kind of come to church with your cell phone and or your iPad, and they call out a scripture, you just, you know. But we were talking to the kids and say, you know, the problem is that when that device goes down, right now you don't know how to turn to get to where you need to go in the Bible. Right? You don't know how to get there. They say turn to the book of Genesis. You all the way in Revelation. you got to know your Bible. Right? I mean, I just love it when, you know, not just people just quoting it off the top of their head, but, you know, and oh, my Jesus. You know, but I mean, this is life, church, yes, right? And, you know, but we done come to a spot where now it's just cool to kind of carry it on your phone. Yeah. But, you know, I think it says something. Yeah. Amen. When you walk out the house on a Sunday morning like this, I used to see saints come to church with the big old family Bible. You knew they was going to church, right? We weren't trying to hide it. Amen. We're not trying to hide this. We want to let you know we believe this. Amen. We live by this. Amen. We enjoy reading this. Come on. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love the word of God. I appreciate the word of God. You know, but they were saying this, say the Bible has been read by more people and published in more languages than any other book in history. Over 1 billion copies of the Bible have been published. And it says the Bible has survived persecution and criticism over the centuries. Amen. All right, Brother Branham made a couple comments, and I'm just going to kind of read a little bit here. Y'all just bear with me on this. Oh, my God, my God. And modern events are made clear by prophecy. Amen. The prophet makes these comments here, and I'm at paragraph 46 in that. I'll start at 45. It says, now the events that we see taking place is absolutely showed in the Bible, right? I mean, when September 11th took place, there were people, you know, they had not read Bibles in a long time. Right, but as soon as that event happened, people went running to the scripture to see what has been prophesied about these things. Now, some went to, I think somewhere in the Old Testament, we were talking about when the towers fall, and they were trying to put it all together and all of that. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if all that is true, but I do know that we're living in a day where we can expect the second coming of the Lord. And I also know that there are certain things, certain destruction that are happening here on the earth before the coming of the Lord. So, you know, we ought to look forward to, I mean, the things that happen shouldn't catch us off guard. It shouldn't be a great surprise. Amen. The scripture speaks of it. Like I was telling y'all just a few weeks ago, this storm that they had, you know, there was a clinker that came off the sun and fell into the earth. And people was kind of afraid that, hey, our cell phones ain't going to be working. And this ain't going to be working. And that ain't going to be working because if this keep happening, we're going to have some trouble. Well, that don't alert me, right? And I'm not all concerned about that because I know that, you know, there will come a time that this earth will be destroyed by fire. Amen. So if it come from the sun, that's just God's word being fulfilled, right? Amen. But I do know this much, that before the earth is destroyed by fire, come on, there's some other promises that are written in the scripture, right, that the Lord is going to return for his bride. So I'm not worried about destruction. I'm worried about getting out of here. So when I hear certain things happen, I just begin to do a checkup. God, I want to make sure my life is right. I want to make sure this is that I'm ready to meet you when you come for me. See, I know that these things are supposed to happen as well. So I'm not alarmed and alerted and up late at night worried and all that. No. I'm resting in God because I know, you know, my redemption is drawing nigh. So when the trouble come, I'm looking up. Amen. I'm not looking down, church. I'm looking up. I can rest on his promised word. Look at what he says here. Now, he says every age, says it's absolutely shown in the Bible, of every age, we think we're all out of cater, but we're not. Everything is moving just exactly with God's word, right? Now, the Bible is a different book from any other sacred book. There's no book like the Bible because the Bible is God in word form.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I just like this. The Bible is God in word form. See, a word is a thought expressed. God's thinking expressed it. His words through the prophets, and they wrote the Bible, which is in word form. And Jesus called it a seed. And any seed will bring forth of its kind if it's in the right condition, the right atmosphere. Now, this book of prophecy, it is foretelling future events. Now, the book contains the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't add to it or take from it, and every revelation must come by it. See, it must be the word. Now, you know, we read there earlier in Revelation, now, anybody to add to the word or take away from the word, there were certain things that would happen to them. You know, the scripture makes it very plain and clear. And I think God puts it there, you know, for a reason. That's the last chapter in the Bible. That's the last words that he's kind of sharing with us, that don't touch my words.
Right?
Don't inject your own thoughts into my word. Don't play around with my word. Just take it like it is.
Amen.
Yeah. Right? And unfortunately, we done got to a spot that we don't honor, Christendom, let me put it that way, they don't honor the word of God the way it should be honored. Right? They don't look at it the way it should be looked at. There are many people standing in the pulpit today that will never even read a scripture to base their thoughts on. Amen. They'll just take some human thought and just present that to the people, and people just eating it up. But it's not even found in the word of God.
That's the truth, brother.
Another thing that happens, that people begin to misuse the word of God. Right? You got to kind of watch all of that and as you kind of are coming through Christianity today. But we want to just stay with what God says.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. We don't want to add our interpretation to it. We don't want to add our thoughts to it. We want to just take it the way that he said.
Amen.
Come on, if he said it in Genesis, it still stands today.
Yes, sir.
If he said it in Moses' law, it still stands today. I find it amazing. How can people take the Ten Commandments and want to live by them, but the rest of what Moses said, they don't want to have nothing to do with? I find that quite amazing, right? But if God said it, then it's settled no matter how we feel about it. It does not change because times and customs change. The word of God still remains the same. Stay with me, amen, on today. Look at this. In Dr. Moses, the prophet makes another comment here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, what do you now, just about two dozen, never been in one of the campaigns before. We certainly welcome you, our beloved friends, and love with the Lord Jesus. May his spirit stir you tonight and your emotions greatly to love him more and more. Now, this is always fundamentally, says the correct word of God, the Bible, every bit of it, inspired. And it's all God's word. And God is in his word. He says, so if God is in his word, then if you receive the word, you receive God.
Amen.
I like that. If God is in his word, then if you receive the word, you receive God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, church. Amen. You receive God. Now that is God's plan, God's motive, God's attitude, God's love, God's salvation. Everything rests in his printed word. Hallelujah. And if those words are just like grains or seed that you can pick out and swallow, every one of them would produce just exactly what it says it'll do here. But by faith, we receive them. I like that. If we receive the word, then we receive God. 2 Timothy 3:16 made that comment. I'm going to just quote this real quick. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I began to just kind of look at that profitable for doctrine and profitable for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I was telling the young people this morning in Sunday school, a lot of people that try to say that God don't exist, and they try to claim that they're atheists. I'm sorry, I just can't even believe that you can be an atheist. It's hard for me to believe that, right? It's hard for me to accept that. I mean, it's hard for you not to look around and see that God is all over. Everything that you do, God is all over, right? So, you know, here are people try to claim this. I say, but the primary reason why people want to be atheists is because they don't want to line up with what God's thoughts are.
That's it, right, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Ooh, Jesus. Because they don't want to live the word, right? The first thing people say, that's too difficult. No, it's not. If I'm living it, you can live it.
Yes, sir.
It's a choice. It's the decision that each person has to make for themselves that I'm going to live this word.
Amen.
I'm going to do this word.
Yes, sir.
And where I fail, God, I believe you'll give me strength. We got to stop making excuses.
Amen.
God is not accepting our excuses. He told Abraham to be perfect. We're going to have to also be perfect. Praise the Lord, church. Right? But you know, people don't want to live it. That's why they just rather turn from it. People don't want to obey the Ten Commandments. People don't want to obey, amen, anything God said. They don't want to obey that. They want to live in the way that they want to live.
Yeah.
And that's why they turn towards atheism. My God. I believe God's word is given for very specific reasons. It says it's profitable for doctrine. What is that? It means that the word of God gives us instruction. Amen, or learning. It helps us in developing, amen, our approach and our approach to things. We can kind of approach it because what does God's word say about that? How should I handle myself in that condition? How should I conduct myself? It gives us instruction, learning. The word of God gives us that. We can look at other people and how their situations turned out. Then we know exactly how our situation will turn out because we're looking at scripture.
Yeah.
It's profitable for reproof. Amen. And what that means is that it's instructive conviction in the ways of God. It's instructive conviction. You know, when we come to church, it should always be a feel-good jump and shout. Sometimes we're going to get some instructive correction.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
Woo! Sometimes we don't want that.
All right.
But if we want to keep this thing lined up the way God wants us to line it up, then we're going to have to take the instructive correction.
Amen.
Come on now. It's also profitable for correction. We're talking about the word of God now. It's profitable for correction. And what that means is it's chastisement. Right? The word of God is profitable for chastisement. I remember, many of the older saints would make this comment, and, you know, I didn't understand it, but, you know, as I get older now, I understand a little bit better. Young people, you might not understand it, but, you know, because you're the one going through it right now. But, you know, when your parents have to give you a spanking, right, sometimes it's like, you know, I don't really see how that's benefiting me, right? And I'm the one taking the pain, and I'm enduring the hits. I don't see how that's going to really benefit me.
Come on.
Come on now.
Come
Right? But if you can kind of go through that, you'll realize what they're doing is kind of curbing your patterns of behavior. Because every time you cross the line, you get hit. Right? Every time you do this and you say something you shouldn't have said, you get a punishment for it. You get chastised. And sometimes, I think everybody would feel this way. You know, sometimes it's not the spanking that hurt the most. Sometimes it's the talk that you gotta have that hurt more than the spanking. Because that talk can go on for hours. You think they done, and then here's another one pop up, and you sitting there for days over something that you did. You wish you would have never did it. But the chastisement was for a purpose. Because later on in life, you didn't know, but you was going to be facing something else. But you learned from the correction. You say, I don't want to go down that path anymore. I don't want to handle it the way I used to handle it. Because I remember the talk. Not only that, I remember the spanking. I remember those things. And since it comes to my memory, I know that I do not want to conduct myself in the same manner again. See, that chastisement was profitable.
Yes.
Oh God. And when the word of God can chastise us, it is profitable. Come on now. When he get on us about being late to church.
Lord Jesus.
It's profitable.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, when he tells us, come on now, we got to pull up the slack.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? When God tells us that, we just got to pull up the slack.
Yes.
That's profitable. Jesus. You want to know why? Because Brother Branham said a lazy spirit, a slowful spirit,
come on.
Will not make the rapture.
That's what he said.
Come on, if you can't make it to church on time, you might not be ready for the rapture. See, now that's profitable.
Yes.
Right? When he challenged us by being faithful to service. Uh-huh. I just don't think if Jesus was in town and we knew that Jesus was gonna be here Monday night and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if we knew Jesus was gonna be here, come on now. Huh? If we knew it, we would make all types of sacrifices.
Ooh.
A job would not be able to hold you if you knew Jesus was here.
Amen.
You'd be telling your boss, I got to get time off. I need these hours off. I got to get to church because Jesus is there. You do everything you can. Well, I'm here to let you know tonight, this morning, Jesus is here. Can I also say something else? One of the reasons why Jesus is not here, because you ain't bringing him. You got to bring him. He lives inside of you, so bring him here. Anything can happen when you get him here. All right. That's profitable. Come on now, that's profitable. Amen. You know, oftentimes we get a little bit too relaxed, and we got to kind of pick up the slack in our life. Come on now. We ought to be doing better before God do something for us. Then we say, well, as soon as God do this, then I'm going to do this. No. You don't work that way. It don't work. I mean, you got to take the word of God first. I'm reminded of the story. I'm coming back to this. But that the woman that was in Elijah's day and God told the prophet, go down to her house. I have ordained for her to take care of you. I've already arranged it. Now, this lady didn't have nothing to take care of nobody with. But here she is down to her bottom. Her barrel's about to go in. She got one more cake that she can make. And she got one more cake. And just a little bit of oil. She's going to put it all together. You can imagine the love that was going in that last cake. And say, we're going to eat this, and I'm going to die. And my son gonna die, and we just gonna go into the presence of the Lord. That's just it. But the prophet went to her house and said, I need you to do. I need you to trust me. I need you to do something that most people can't do, but God told me to come to you because I know he know that you'll do it. What I need to do, that last cake, bake me a cake first. Right? When you give me the cake first, then I guarantee your cruise will not, amen, go empty, and your barrel ain't gonna, it's not gonna go empty, and your cruise won't run dry. Right. I can almost assure you that that will happen if you give me the cake first. Right. Come on. Right. God wants your faithfulness first. Huh? God wants your commitment first. Right? I mean, he already know what he gonna do, and he know what he can do, but he's watching to see what you gonna do. So God wants your commitment first. God, I'm going to do this. And don't go back on your commitment. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. It's profitable for reproof, instructive correction in the ways of God. It's also profitable for correction, which is chastisement. Remember the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Amen. It's also profitable for instruction. The word of God itself is profitable for instruction. And what that means is the whole training and the education of a child. The instruction is the whole training and the education of a child. Come on now. You know, there's a lot of things that school can't teach. Right? So the parents have a responsibility to kind of teach it at home. Right? It's the whole, and nowadays we got to be careful when we send our kids out there. When we send them out to school, they teach them a lot of other things that God's word is against. Huh? They teach them accept lifestyles that God's word is totally against. Huh? I mean, so parents, you just can't leave it up to the school, but we have a responsibility. And when we're teaching our kids, it just can't be our words. Huh? It ain't something that mom and daddy made up. But you got to be able to take your children back to the Bible and show them what God said about it. Right. This house, we believe the word of God. Amen. This house, we stand on the word of God. We're not going to add to it, and we're not going to take away from it. Amen. I heard a songwriter say, God's word is right, and I know it's right. Now, if God's word is going against what the teacher's saying, then we're going to take God's word. If God's word is going against what the doctor's saying, I'm going to take God's word. Come on, if God's word is going against what the judge is saying, I'm going to take God's word.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God made the teacher. God made the judge. God made the doctor.
Amen.
But ain't nobody make God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, it's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, let me just kind of drop into something here. This is out of the message, Kinsman Redeemer. And praise God. Amen. I'm kind of skipping down in that, and when you pull that quote up, I'm down to the second paragraph in that quote. It says, therefore, we know the Bible is inspired. Where mathematically, in every way, there is no other literature written that will not contradict itself somewhere. This book was written almost 4,000 years apart. The books of the Bible, and they were wrote by some, I forget just how many men wrote them. It says, I did remember, but I'm sorry. I want to say 60-something, but I may be wrong there. 40-something, 40 men wrote the Bible within the space of 1,000 of years apart, never knowing one another or seeing one another or reading after one another many times, right? Never knowing one another, seeing one another, or reading after one another many times, and not one word contradicts the other. It is inspired. Now I'm going on, because we have to kind of watch this, because they have this little game that they used to have. Where is Waldo? Right, where is Waldo? And they showed you a picture of Waldo at the beginning of the book. And Waldo had certain clothing on. Right? And you had to watch every detail.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, every detail. They show you a picture of Waldo, and if Waldo got a red scarf on, right, you're gonna have to find Waldo with a red scarf on in the next few pages. Right? If Waldo had polka dot shoes on.
Yeah.
You better make sure you watch the polka dot shoes in the next few pages, right? Because, they give you a nice picture, so you got to pay attention to all the details. And And then when you begin to turn through the book,
right.
All of a sudden Waldo all over the place,
yeah.
Right? This guy looked like Waldo, but he's missing
right.
This red scarf.
Right.
And you circle it saying that's Waldo, but when you realize he don't have a red scarf, that's not Waldo.
Right.
That's an impersonation of Waldo.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, well, I found a guy with a red scarf, but he got black shoes. Yeah. That's not Waldo.
Yeah.
Right? Waldo got polka dot shoes and a red scarf. So you just got to find this guy on all the next pages. You got to find him looking exactly like he was at the beginning. Come on, somebody. And here in the church, in Christianity, we have lost the picture of what God was. And if we want to get a good picture, we better go back to the beginning. We better go back to his word if we want to see what he looks like. If we want to follow him through history, we better take a real good look at what the word of God says he is.
Because
what his word says, that's exactly what he is. He has not changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Come on, churches have lost the picture of him. They used to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ years ago. And the church in the book of Acts, that's the only way they baptize. And we know that was the beginning of the church, of the Gentile church. That was the beginning of what happened in the book of Acts. But why are we now baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? We better go back to the beginning. Come on. We better get back to the beginning, church. I mean, and there's many, I mean, they're not even considering these things. That's why ain't no power, ain't nothing happening. You know, because we're so far off of the word of God. We can't expect God to do anything if we're not going to honor his word.
Right.
Hallelujah. But I tell you what, you had to, you know, many times if you ever get that book, and I had to trace him, man, you have to stay with that Waldo fella. Okay, this is what he had. And sometimes you find Waldo hiding behind some little something.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes it's so obvious, and you just think that's Waldo. No, the obvious is not always the right.
Come on.
Amen.
Can I say it this way? Yeah. You know, just because there's a big crowd,
right. Right.
Don't mean God is there.
Yeah.
Amen. Just because there's a big crowd, don't mean God is there.
Amen.
Amen. God is where his word is.
Amen.
Where his word is welcome, that's where you're going to find God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So here, you know, I'm going on, you know, the prophet goes on to say in Kinsman Redeemer says, now, many people look at this book of Ruth. Now, we're talking about one of the chapters or one of the books of the Bible, the book of Ruth. It says, now, many people look at this book of Ruth as they say it's a love story of the Bible. The Bible is a love story. The whole Bible is a love story. Now, I just got to just drop a few things. If the Bible, as the prophet is telling us, is a love story, then it's only written to certain people.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. When I write a love note, right? Amen. Or I write a little note to my wife when we're recording and I write her a note, that note wasn't for anybody else.
Amen.
Right? And some of the things that I were writing there, somebody else read it, they have no idea what I was writing about.
All right.
But when it came into her, I mean, when her eyes laid hold on it, it would put a smile on her face.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, maybe a smile even in her heart because she knows exactly what I'm saying. That message was not for everybody else.
Right.
That message was only for her.
Yes,
sir. If I can say it this way, God's word is only for his bride.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus.
Amen.
I was reading something, Brother Branham said, you know, we can open the pages of the Bible. Right? I can do this. I can flip and do all this. Anybody can do that. Anybody can go get one off the shelf and just start flipping all through it.
Oh my.
We can open the pages of the Bible, but it takes Christ to open the book.
Oh,
God. Amen.
See, amen. We can open the pages, but it takes Christ to open the book.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because, you know, John said, who will loose the seals thereof?
Uh-huh.
And it took Christ to come and take the book out of him that sat on the throne and open and loose the seals thereof. What is that? He began to reveal what was written in the scripture to his bride.
Yes.
It was secrets. Secrets. But he revealed the secrets through his prophet to his people.
Yes.
Amen. Now, we're just not walking with a closed book.
Mm-hmm.
But like the prophet said, after the seals was opened, he said, the Bible became a new book.
Yes,
right.
Church, I tell you what, if you ever want the Bible to become a new book to you, you better start getting in line with what the scripture's saying. Yes. You have to take everything that it said, not just the parts that you want.
Yes.
But you have to take everything that it said.
Amen.
And if he said that he was sending a prophet, he was sending Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, you better find out who Elijah is.
Yes, sir.
And you better receive what Elijah got to say.
Yeah.
Because once you receive that, now the Bible itself becomes a new book.
Amen.
Oh my. Church, there's so many things. I'm talking about that hidden wall, though. You know, and that's what God kind of do. He hides himself in the scripture that most people just think that's just overlooking. That's why it's not a love story. It's a book of law to many.
Right.
But to me, it's a love story.
Yeah.
When I look at things in Leviticus. In Levitical law, and I look at, we can't do this and we can't do that. It's not a bunch of can'ts.
Mm-hmm.
It's really love to me because God is protecting me from some stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Right.
Oh my
Amen.
God. I'm gonna be plain with you. God tell us to keep ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No. Flee from fornication.
Right. Yes.
Right. Flee from it. Now,
right.
Now, to some people, that's just law.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God say do something like that? Now, if you ever been involved in it,
mm-hmm.
right, you get caught in fornication, then later on in life, you realize, oh, my God, I should have kept myself.
Right.
Yes. Then I don't have to deal with the thoughts that go along
yes.
with that type of stuff.
Yes.
Huh? When we do something wrong that's against God's word, it's later on in life that we're going to have to face that again.
Right.
And see, if we would have just held to the word at the beginning,
huh?
Yes.
Then we would have saved ourselves some pain.
Amen.
Come on, you know the areas where we done broke God's word, and I ain't got time to call them out. You know where you broke God's word. And let me just also put it this way. Everybody in here has broke the word of God. The Bible say, no, it don't say that. It says some. Just a few. Huh? Now, just a few, because I know you was born in this message. Right? And you ain't never sinned. You ain't never lied. You ain't never stole. You ain't never did nothing. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Oh my. Some of y'all still got the bubblegum wrapper in your purse that you stole when you was young. But the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So not one of us can point a finger at nobody else. I sin, you sin, we all sin.
Yeah.
It's only grace that keeps us.
Yeah.
But and everybody, and because you have sinned somewhere, Satan is always able to bring up your past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're going through some great things in your life. Satan is right there to bring up your past.
Yeah.
To tell you did this and you did that and you'll never be this because you did that and you'll never do this because of, I mean, tell the devil he's a liar.
Amen.
Now, there might be some things I might not be able to do on this earth. And that's quite all right. As long as I can get to heaven, that's all that matters.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Look at this now. You know, he's saying it's a love letter. And you know, this love letter, we want to kind of catch a few things in it. Man, this is not just a bunch of laws and regulations. This is God's love to me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When I read it, I just love reading it. And I know y'all feel the same way, y'all that read y'all Bible. Sometimes you just run into a scripture. I ran into one yesterday. I never saw that one before. I got to post it. Right. I mean, sometimes you just hit one of them and just, I was going through, but I ain't going through no more. I feel like I can overcome now. Right, the devil start telling, well, you know, you this and you that, and you did this and you did that, you know, and I mean, ain't, you know, it's not working. It's not working. You done tried this, you done tried that. It ain't working. Then I run into a scripture that said, you're going to be rewarded. Just keep pressing on.
Oh,
see, that right there, that's God speaking to me. If I ever want to hear the voice of God, all I got to do is read his word.
Amen.
Right? I mean, just reading his word can change my atmosphere. Amen. Just hearing his word can change my outlook on things. Right? I mean, just somebody just give me a quota. Somebody give me a scripture. Just let me hear the word of God. I ain't got to hear nothing else. Let me hear the word of God.
Amen.
Church, you want to see my morning turn to dancing? Just through the word.
Amen.
Just through the word that my morning turned to dancing. I mean, I go from having a downcast face to I'm ready to shout now.
Well, that's right, brother.
And I don't need no music. I'll just cut up by myself.
Amen.
I'm talking about the word.
Yes, sir.
The word do that to me. Oh, glory to God.
Right.
Thank
Amen.
God for the word.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let me God is in his word, church.
Yes,
God is right there in the word.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right, look at this. He goes on to say this. Say the whole Bible is a love story. Not only is it a love story, but it's a prophet. The Bible is a prophet. Not only is it a prophet, but it's also a history, right? Not only is it a love story, a history, a prophet, it's God himself. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God on print.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
The Word is God on print. Let me tell you something. If you ever get in trouble and you need a word from the Lord, don't go to the parking lot of some grocery store, wait for somebody to prophesy.
Oh.
Just find yourself a little secret place.
Yes,
huh? Open up your Bible and begin to read, and you're gonna have many words from the Lord. God, hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Look at it. It says, it's the word. So the word is God on print that ought to settle it.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, God on print. Jehovah printed on a book. Jehovah printed on a book. If you want to know the diagnosis, read it out of the book. Right, you know, I mean, you know, I believe the question was raised: whose report are you gonna believe?
Yes, Lord.
Let me just finish reading this. Oh, Jesus, Jehovah printed on the book, and there's none of it just some kind of a fiction tale, but it's all absolutely the truth. Every phase of it, hang your soul, is there. It's the truth, and God will back His word up.
Amen.
I love that. The question I ask in scripture, whose report you're going to believe? Because, see, you know, I even when the prophet would ask that question, the prophet Isaiah would ask that question, he knew that we'd be living in a day where we'd be kind of in between two reports.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Come on now. We'd be in between what the doctor's reports say. Mm-hmm. Some of us in between what people say on the internet about the message.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Huh?
All right.
You know, you can't be in between reports. You can't be having two different opinions about this.
Right. Amen, brother.
Huh? You can't even be halted between opinions, the scriptures say. You can't be like that. Either God's word is right or it's not right.
All right.
Huh? You have to take it for just what it says.
Amen.
Don't add your own interpretation to it. Just take it just like it says. Come on now. I tell people all the time, say, look, you don't got to believe, Brother Branham was a prophet. You ain't got to believe that. You ain't got to believe it. One thing you do got to believe is that God said he going to send Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Say, now, if you don't believe Brother Branham was that prophet, then you better share with us who the prophet was.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Exactly right.
All right.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
And it can't be a she.
No, never.
Can't be a she.
Come on.
Cannot be. I don't care how anointed she is.
Uh-huh.
She is not fulfilling Malachi 4.
All right.
So if you got that, you got something wrong, because he said, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a he.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, it's a lot of anointed stuff happening out there don't mean it's right.
Yeah.
Moses was anointed when he hit the rock.
That's right.
And water came out. And he was anointed. He hit it and water came out. He was supposed to speak to it.
Right.
But he hit it and water came out.
Yeah.
Now, even though he hit it, water came out. He was anointed to do that. That's why I say don't get thrown off by the anointing.
Yes, sir.
Don't get thrown off, because Moses was anointed. He hit it, water came out. He got in trouble with God.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you today, there's people getting in trouble with God because they're not following all the word.
Right.
Only parts of it.
Right.
The part that you like, that's the part you follow.
Right.
No, you have to take all of this.
Because yes,
God is in all of it.
Yes.
The part that you don't like, God is still in it.
Yes.
The part that hurts your feelings, God is still
yes.
in it.
Yes.
God ain't changing. You're going to have to change.
Right.
All right now. Look at this. I got God was hiding things in his word all along. Just follow me on this. Just like the story of Ruth is a love story. That was a real, I mean, if you could just read in between the lines as you start reading that story, it's not just about Boaz and Ruth. That's God wasn't just trying to tell their story, right? God has so much more that he was trying to do with that if we just really read in between the lines. When you're reading a love letter, you got to be able to read in between the lines.
That's right.
In order to understand it. Otherwise, you're going to be lost, completely lost. What does this mean? I don't understand this. And that's why many people, you know, there's churches today that have started because they couldn't understand a few things. Just one or two scriptures they couldn't understand, so they started a whole other church. Mm-hmm. Right? There's churches, there's more Bibles that's been written today that's ever been written in all of time because people couldn't understand. The reason they couldn't understand it because they wouldn't take prophetic insight.
Right.
They rejected a prophet.
Amen.
If you receive a prophet, this Bible will become a new Bible.
Yes.
Oh, God. Look at this. He was, God was always hiding things in his word. He was telling a greater story all the time. Ruth, the story of Ruth and Boaz, if we just really look at that, this was a time, a period of life where Naomi and her family, you know, her husband and her boys, they left the homeland. They left the homeland. They were supposed to stay there in Israel, but because of a great famine in the land, they decided to leave. They decided to go out on their own and go down to the land of Moab and try to, you know, maybe go to work down there. But, you know, the prophets say the Jews were never supposed to leave the homeland because when you leave the homeland, that's when trouble starts. Come on now. And we got to be able to read right between the lines because when we leave the word, when we leave the homeland, that's where trouble starts. Come on. That's where a lot of trouble gets started in Christianity because somebody has left the homeland. Amen. And if you ever, want to see things restored, you're going to have to come back. You have to come right back to the homeland. Come on now. Amen. I mean, you want to know why some of our families going through? They left the homeland.
Yes,
but if they ever want to see those problems stop, it ain't because I can fix it.
Amen.
Right? They going to fix it by coming back to the homeland.
Yes,
amen. You want the blessings to flow? Get back into the home. Get back to the word of God.
Yes,
that is the homeland for the church. Back on what God said.
Yes,
not on man's opinion, not on man's thoughts, but back on what the word of God is saying.
Yes.
That's the homeland, church.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
You looking for God? Right there, open up your Bible.
Yes,
all over it. All over it. But when Ruth and Naomi and her husband and everything went down there, her husband ended up losing his life and her boys lost their life, and you know, and here comes Ruth coming back with her mother-in-law to the land of Israel, and Naomi encourages her, please don't come with me, please don't come. I mean, you can't expect me to get married and have a child and then wait for that child to grow up and then you get married. So you can't expect nothing like that. I mean, please go back. Orpah, representing some of the, you know, unbelievers, went right back to Moab, but Ruth, representing the Gentiles, which represented us, and I want you to understand this. Even though God was dealing with the Israelites, he always had his mind on those Gentiles. Ooh, hallelujah. Naomi was an Israelite, and Boaz and them was an Israelite, but God always had his mind on those Gentiles.
Oh,
it's a true love story.
Thank
amen.
You.
But not just a love story in between Boaz and Ruth, but it's a love story between Christ and his bride.
Yes,
come on, church. It shows you what God thought of us all along.
Yeah.
We were down, we might have been down in Moab serving our false gods, but God had his mind on us all the time. Created a situation.
Yeah.
Created a circumstance.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, I don't care what you go through. God has allowed some of these things to happen to get you into a place where he can reveal himself to you.
Yeah.
But you got to have a decision like Ruth had.
Amen.
You know what? I'm tired of serving the gods of Moab anyway. They ain't done nothing. We ain't got no testimonies down here. We hear all the testimonies up there in Israel. Say, you know what? I know my sister-in-law is getting ready to go back, but see, everybody ought to come to this decision themselves. Where you go, I'm going. Your people gonna be my people. Where you lodge, that's where I'm gonna lodge. Where you die, that's where I'm gonna die. No, what else? Your God will be my God.
Yeah.
Ruth came to that conclusion, and when she got there, God did some great things for her, blessed her in ways that she never imagined. And church, God was hiding himself in that story, because that's the same way we as Gentiles. We got to come to that. I don't care about what this person is saying. I don't care about what that person is saying. But this is my God.
Right.
And I'm standing on his word.
Yes.
Come on, I don't care about what the doctor's saying. Right? I don't care about, and I got all kind of people in my family, got all kind of, ideas. I'm not caring about what they saying, but I'm going to take God's word at what it's saying to me.
Yes, amen. Yes, yes.
Everybody got to come to that space for themselves.
Amen, right.
When we get there, that's where the blessings of God begin to flow. But God was hiding himself in the story of Ruth. It wasn't just about Boaz and all that. It was about God and his bride.
Yes.
When we look at the story of Abraham and Isaac, that was about, God and his son going to a cross, right? When God spoke of Jesus coming all the way back, I'm telling you, God allows situations to happen so he can speak about himself.
Right.
Way back in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
When Eve made that grand mistake, we pick at her and all of that, but God knew exactly what she was doing, and
come on now.
God knew what he was doing. It wasn't just Eve partaking of this fruit, and we all know it wasn't no apple, no pear, nothing like that. Yeah. We know something much greater than that.
Right.
We know that, church.
Right.
But it wasn't. I mean, when you really think about that, it was so that as soon as it happened, I love my brother Smiley put it this way: God always had a plan. God, as soon as it happened, he knew, okay, I'm going to give out my punishment, but I got a plan. I got the plan of redemption. Get ready to roll right through this.
Yes, yes.
So now, Eve, I know you did it. I know. And Eve, you actually thought you were doing right. Yeah. You actually thought. You were deceived to do this. But, Eve, I knew that this was going to happen. So, Eve, what I'm going to tell you is that I'm going to allow, amen, you to have a seed, Eve. And through your seed, I bring redemption.
Yes.
Now, a woman don't carry seed.
Right.
Don't carry.
My Lord, right.
It's the man that carries the seed.
Yes.
But way back in the book of Genesis, God was hiding his story in the book of Genesis to kind of let you know about what he was going to do.
Right?
Yes. And he put it there. He put the whole story in the Bible so that we can kind of get a glimpse as to what was getting ready to happen.
Amen. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if you don't know how to read the love story, you kind of think, well, man, Eve was just, I don't know why she did that. But the love story said God did that for a reason, because his grace had to be expressed.
Amen.
The love story said God did that for a reason, because he wanted to show himself as a deliverer. God did that for a reason, because he wanted to show himself as a redeemer. You would have never experienced any of those attributes had not God allowed that to happen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
His love story said Christ was coming on the scene.
Amen.
Eve, it was prophesied there in the days of Adam and Eve. It was prophesied again in the days of Moses when he said, the Lord your God shall raise a prophet like unto me up. It was prophesied again in the days of Isaiah. See, I mean, just generations after generations after generations, but yet they're all prophesying of the exact same thing.
That's right.
Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. And when Jesus was born, church, amen, every one of those prophecies was fulfilled. God was in his word. And let me tell you something. When God manifests his word, that's all the vindication we need.
That's true.
When God manifests it, we don't need nobody else to interpret it. God has already interpreted it.
Right.
Hallelujah, church.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. I look at many of these things. God is in his word. Let me just kind of skip along here. I want to just share something about the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the word of God. Now, let me just read something here. The prophet spoke something right here in our city. This is out of the message, the resurrection. Amen. He spoke this in West Palm Beach, Florida. He walked up to the pulpit in 1953, and he just started greeting the people. And he made this comment in the resurrection. It says, thank you, Brother Vail. Good evening, friends. Good afternoon, rather. I seldom have the service. It's always evening, so I get used to saying that. So we're very happy to be here in the arena this afternoon. Every time I look across there and see those things, them rings, I just think of what a difference when I used to go out and box in them myself, and now I'm out fighting the devil, just giving it to him with all I got. I like that. He says, you know, there was one way that I found out in boxing. Something I learned was the technique of defense. You got to have a defense. Right. Look, church, we all fight the devil. Yeah. Amen. We all in battle. I don't care what your position is, what your status is. We all fighting the devil, but we got to have a defense.
Yeah.
Come on, look at this. He say, and so that's a good thing. He say the best defense that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Is it? Just say, it's thus saith the Lord, Satan. Here's written, that does it. Look at this. Do you know the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, night or day, any place? Come on, you can be driving in your car, and you can defeat Satan with the word. Huh? You can be already in the hospital bed, but you can defeat Satan with the word. Come on now. Glory to God. You can defeat the devil any place, anytime with what God said in his word.
Yes,
oh, my God, my God, my God. You don't need nothing else. You don't need a vision. You don't need nothing. Just the word of God will take the devil out.
Thank you.
My God, look at this. He says, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, night or day, any place, the written word. And Jesus defeated Satan by the written word, showing that it could be done.
Right.
I like that. That brings it to the baby Christian. No matter how small, how little, whatever more, you can say it is written.
Amen.
You could have just got saved yesterday.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you could have got saved yesterday. And you'd be like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just I'm going to tell you what to do. Take this and find just one scripture. One scripture that you can stand on and say it's written. Say.
Amen.
You're going through in your finances, find a scripture. My God. And you just got to sometime. If you can't find it to read it to the devil, just quote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, in your prayer time, my God shall supply.
Amen. Yeah.
All my needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen.
Huh? My God shall supply. You know, it's his will for me to be in good health and to prosper.
All right,
now. Even as my soul prospers.
Yes.
You got to find, because that word is a seed now.
Yes.
Right? That word seed, and if you plant it in a good atmosphere, it will produce.
Amen.
You sick in your body? He's the Lord, my God, that healeth all my diseases.
Yeah. Yes,
the doctor say, hey, I ain't never seen nothing like this. I ain't never seen nothing. I don't know what this is. This is worse than the Ebola thing. But my God, he will heal all my diseases.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, and another thing you got to find, you know, is like Isaiah said, he was wounded for my transgression.
Yes.
Bruised for my iniquities.
Yes.
The chastisement of my peace is upon him, and with his stripes I am healed.
Come on.
Yes. Come on, not, you know, I hope to be healed.
Uh-huh.
With it, just read it the way it said.
Right.
Don't add to it, don't take away from
Amen.
It.
Yeah.
Just read just like it said.
Amen.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's read. Let's read. Turn to Isaiah 53. So we in the middle of all these different reports, and we just got to take it just the way he said.
Yeah.
Right. My God, hallelujah. We want to see results. Take it the way he said it.
Amen.
Come on, if the doctor tell you to take this many pills a day, take that many pills a day. Take it the way he said.
Yeah.
Don't add to it. If you add to it, you might kill yourself.
Amen.
Right? If you don't take as much as the doctor say, you might not do yourself any good.
Amen.
Right? Don't add to it or don't take away. Just take it the way they say it.
Amen.
Same way we got to do with the word of God. Come on, let's read this. Isaiah 53. Jesus, look at this. Verse 1 says, for who hath believed our report?
Yeah.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. For he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
All right.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
That's right.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
That's right.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, you know, I mean, there was a young a man one time on the ship with the captain. And as he was on the ship with the captain, you know, the captain got sick out there on sea. He couldn't get to the hospital or anything like that. And man, this man was dying out there on sea. You know, so the young man, they kind of called for him and said, "Captain, if you don't mind, you know, I know you're not feeling that well, but if you don't mind, when I used to be sick, you know, at my house, my mama would always kind of read this scripture to me. And when mama would read the scripture to me, you know, for somehow I would get better," right? So, you know, the young man said, "If you don't mind, Captain, let me read the scripture." And he went and took him to Isaiah 53, and he says, "He was wounded for our transgressions.
Come on now.
And he was bruised for our iniquities." And the captain was kind of mentally agreeing with what the young man was saying. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes, we're healed." Captain said, "That's all right, son. I remember that scripture coming up in church. And man, that really was a really good scripture. But Captain, you're dying. And I want to, if you don't mind, I want to read it to you the way mama used to really read it to me."
"All right, brother.
I know that's the way you read it. And Captain, that was fine. But see, you got to put yourself, come on, in the Word of God. Because there is power in the Word of God. There is healing in the Word of God. There is deliverance in the Word of God." Oh, hallelujah, church. He said, "Now I want you to just," he said, "if you don't mind, let me read it the way that mama used to read it to me, Captain. If you don't mind, Captain. Captain, what's your full name?" And maybe let's say the captain's name happened to be Jacked Up.
"Come on.
So I'm going to read it the way that mama used to read it. He was wounded for Jacked Up's transgressions. He was bruised for Jacked Up's iniquities. The chastisement of Jacked Up's peace was upon him. And with his stripes." Come on, with his stripes. Jacked Up is already healed. When the captain put his name in the scripture, when he realized that scripture was still living, the captain got up out of that bed and he lived. If you want to live, put yourself in what God has already said. Because it's not going to change. It'll work for Jacked Up. It'll work for you and anybody else that will allow it to work for. Oh, hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. God, you're looking for him. He and his word. He and his word. He and his word. When Jesus was there on the going through in Matthew 4, man, he just told the devil, "It is written." Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't use none of his power, none of that. Satan come and challenge him with all kind of things. Satan, "It's written." And the good thing about it, church, it really was written.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go back in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see it was written.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus wasn't just saying that just to be saying it, but he was showing that the weakest Christian, I don't care how weak you are. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I don't care, how little faith you got.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, but if you would just find strength enough, just even if you don't believe the word, do me a favor, read it anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you don't believe it, read it. You know why? Because the more you read it,
come on,
the more you're gonna believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you're gonna read it. Just read the word.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. You know what, bro? You know what? The devil's. I'm just reading that quote about having to have a defense. You know, did I even finish that? Yeah, I finished. But you have to have a defense for the devil. Your defense is the word of God.
Yeah.
Come on, that's the shield of. Your shield of faith. Take the word of God and fight against the devil,
mm-hmm.
right? Because God is in His word. Now, you know what? The devil's job to do is to disarm you. And if you can ever get a man disarmed, he got a weapon, a stick, I believe one of David's warriors was fighting one time, and he disarmed a man and took his sword or a stick, and he killed the man with his own weapon,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what people do. They try to disarm you first.
Right.
And what Satan tried to do is disarm you. You know how he tries to disarm you? Get you to doubt the word of God.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Because you don't realize the power
that's
in the word.
Come on.
The God that created the heavens,
that's right.
The God that created the earth,
yes, Lord,
is hiding himself in this word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't add to it or take away from it, you're going to find the same results in your life as we find in Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't let them disarm you.
Amen.
When Jesus said, it is written, it was written. And by the time, you know, that last trial coming, every time Satan comes and do this, do that, do that, it's written. Mm-hmm. Do this, jump off the pinnacle and do this, it's written, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It's written. Every time he just kept hearing it's written, the devil got out of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on, church.
Amen.
You want the devil to get out of your situation?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Bible say resist him and he'll flee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have to quote that word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you don't feel like it, quote it.
Yeah.
When it don't seem like nothing happened,
it's
quote it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
Quote it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to dare double dare you.
Mm-hmm.
Quote it.
Amen.
Just quote it.
Amen.
Read it and quote it.
Amen.
Your kids acting up? Quote it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. You can just turn to it.
Mm-hmm.
I give you something. I give it to you. And that's why it's good for you to know your Bible.
Yes.
You need to feel the pages in your hand.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Here it is. The promise is unto you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And to your children.
Yes.
To all them that are afar off.
Mm-hmm.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
That's
now,
right.
That's the way I read it when I read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read it to me, the promise is unto Jack Duff.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And to his children,
amen.
To all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm just going to quote it and watch it come to pass.
Yeah.
Because it's a seed.
Right.
And that seed will produce. Look, if I went home and y'all gave me a seed, I took, and you say, well, look, Brother Jack, this is collard green seed. Just take it and put it in, and you're going to get some greens. And as much as I like greens, I'm going to put it down there, and I'm expecting greens. If I put that in there and I get mustard greens, something wrong with the seed.
Yeah.
Huh? I wasn't expecting mustard. You said collards,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm looking for collards, not
yeah.
mustards.
Yeah.
See, I mean, but it's got to be in the seed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 If it's in the seed, it's going to come forth.
Yeah. Right.
And God's word is the seed. It's got to manifest
yeah.
itself.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Church, God is in his word.
Amen.
All right, let me close it out here today. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Let me... thank you, Jesus. Y'all bear with me and just read a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I want to read from Pergamene Church Age. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Pergamene Church Age. We got to know the power that's in the Word of God. And I'm gonna start at paragraph 169-4 in Pergamene Church Age. Look at this. Brother Branham says this. Now, Jesus knew that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the word in the Pergamene age, which was as yet 200 years off from the Patmos vision. He knew that the drift would cause them to go into the dark ages. He knew that the way man originally got away from God was by first leaving the word. If you leave that word, you have left God. Let me say it again. If you leave that word, you have left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos and indeed to all churches of all ages. I am the Word. If you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that Word.
Yeah.
This which I am giving you, the Word, is a revelation of myself. I am the Word. Remember that.
Amen.
I love this. I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. I just got to camp out there just for a minute. You know, we're sufficiently impressed with new discoveries of science.
Oh, God.
Huh? If a doctor come up with something, you know, let some doctor talk about some, you know, some root out of the Philippines that had never been discovered. All of us, oh boy, we got to get that. How many of us have sold them special drinks? Come on now. Mona V and, you know, what's some of the other stuff?
Aloe vera.
I mean, stuff. We took all of that and we're still in the same condition. Come on, we might as well be honest with us. We were sufficiently impressed that we would even sell it.
Come on, right
now. Huh? We would go out and sell it, put signs on our cars and everything. Come on now, we were sufficiently impressed. And we tell everybody about some new discovery. Dr. So-and-so found this. How many are sufficiently impressed with the word of God? Or something that outlasted every doctor that ever lived.
Yes,
sufficiently impressed with what God said.
Amen.
God, I want to be sufficiently impressed.
Oh, yeah.
So impressed that I tell everybody.
Amen.
The word works.
Yes,
amen. Glory to God.
Uh-huh.
If you want to find God, you'll find him in his word.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. They're not trying to make the word fit. No, it don't have to fit. If we just take God's word at what it's saying, church, it's going to be all right. I hope you hear me. If we just take God at his word, it's going to be all right. Sometimes these people discover things that's already been there all along. It's been there all along. Amen. You know, just church, all I can, I just want to encourage you. Take God at his word. Let me just stay with this. I'm for one, I'm sufficiently impressed. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by what God has done all through the ages of time. If he did it then, I know he's doing it right now.
Yes,
he don't change. Amen. Sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst, let me give you a thought here. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? Every prayer is in his name, or there isn't any answer. You can't pray in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You will not get an answer. It's got to be in Jesus' name. Ask the Father anything in my name. That's what he said. Yet, in 1 John 5:14, we're told this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now we ask, what is the will of God? There is only one way to know his will, and that is by the word of God. If you want to know the will of God, read the word of God. Lamentations 3:37 says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Can I just harp on that? You can't make this word say nothing different than what it's saying.
Amen.
I mean, you know, we were talking just a few weeks ago, even on the thing about women preachers. I don't care how anointed they get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the word say they're not supposed to do it, then they're not supposed to do it.
Exactly.
The scripture say, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority in the congregation over man. She's not supposed to do that.
Yes.
So you can't make it say anything. You can't add, Paul's a woman hater. Nope, that's not what the Bible says. I don't even read that in the scripture that Paul was a woman hater. And the Bible doesn't say nothing like that. But we've added these interpretations to it because we want to do what we want to do.
Right.
Go back to the word.
Yes, sir.
Get back to the homeland. Come on now, look at this. You want to know the will of God? Read the word of God.
Amen.
There it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So we can't ask unless it's in the word. And we can't petition or ask unless it's in his name. There it is again. Jesus, the name, is the word, the will. You can't separate God and the word. They are one.
Okay.
Now then, this word that he has left behind on the printed page. Come on, what you got in your Bible? That's why I don't put it down, church. This word that is left behind on the printed page is a part of him when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life. He said that his word was life, John 6:63b, but that is exactly what he is, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Romans 8:9b. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There it is. He is the spirit and he is life. That is exactly what the word is. That is exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. And I love this. The prophet say, Satan cannot stand before that man. Let's quote that word.
Jesus.
You want to back the devil out, mm-hmm. back him up. You want to handcuff the devil,
mm-hmm.
disarm him.
Mm-hmm.
Quote the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Quote it, church.
Amen.
You have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can quote that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't just, after you leave church today, don't just go home and put this on the shelf. Get yourself a one-year Bible reading plan and start reading the Word of God, just going through it. I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but there's many of us that are Christians. And we've been Christians for a long time. I'm talking about years. Years. And we have never read the Bible all the way through. Not just once. Now, but this is the Bible that you believe. You know, most of the Muslims, they can tell you how many times they read their Quran. They can tell you that. A lot of other people that follow all kind of other religions, they read their material like crazy. They read it like crazy. But we as Christians, that's why Satan's been able to just defeat the church, because we don't know our position in the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm not trying to make you feel, well, yes I am. I'm trying to make you feel real bad. Come on, you're a Christian. Your God can be found in His Word. You ever looking for His will? It's right here. Right here. Just take it up. Just get it and read it. I got one big like this because it helped me to be able to read a little bit better. You understand? And on top of that, you get reference material, and, you know, and even genealogies mean something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all see God putting genealogies there? I mean, you see them start way back in Genesis, and you see it. You know, he was talking about this one particular man, and it says something about he discovered mules, and just kind of dropped that in, just kept on going. And you just read right over, and you just. But if you stop and think, why would God put he discovered mules? You know why? Because a mule is not anything that God created. So if he discovered the mule, he was doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing. He was high breeding animals. And Brother Ram said, a mule is one of the worst animals you can ever have. So he said, you get a nice stallion horse, and you put him out there, everybody just, I'm one, I admire them. You just look at the way they build them. Mm-hmm. My God, boy. You just want to get on top of them and ride for a little bit, you know. Just giddy up, boy, you know. But you look at a mule, he don't have that look.
No, sir.
Say, Brother Man, you just stand there talking to a mule, his ears just straight up in the air. Just straight up in the air. You just talking to him, you done fed him all your life, and all he waiting on is for you to just get into one little position.
Uh-huh.
I don't care how much you done treated him right. He just waits. As soon as you get in a certain position, that mule going to kick you. And be happy to do it. But when you talk about those things, God hiding little secrets there in His Word. And what He's saying, look, I didn't like that guy hybriding that. I don't want you to hybrid my Word. Stay with it. Keep it pure. Stay with the way I said it. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just stay with it that way. And you'll see the blessings that I got for you. All right, I'm almost home. Satan can't stand before that man. If the church way back there in that third age had only held on to the revelation of the living Word in their midst, the power of God would not have faded as it did in those dark ages. And right today, when the church returns to the Word in faith, we can say without that the glory of God and the wonderful acts of God will be in her midst again. Church, I believe that, and I'm under expectation for that, and I'm here to let everybody know God going to be found in His Word.
Yes.
We want to see healing, we better go back to the Word. Amen. We want to see deliverance, we better go back to the Word.
Yes.
Come on, we done tried everything, try the Word.
Right.
That woman with the issue of blood, she tried every doctor, got nowhere. But when she tried Jesus, her situation was over.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. All right, one last one. Let us see God. This is the last quote, musicians, you can come. Amen. Let us see God. The prophet says this, God is in His Word. Anybody will take His Word and He promised, let me go on record by saying this. If you'll take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God, it'll bring it to pass. That's what I think about His Word. You take any promise in here and you take the right mental attitude towards it, God will bring it to pass for you. God is in His Word. God is in His Son. He was divine. He's the Son of God. I believe that with all that's in me, I believe it. Yes, sir. He was a prophet, sure. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was a singer. He was a God. God manifested in the flesh. God came down in the flesh to reconcile the world to himself. Then that wonderful Son of God died. And when he died, he gave his life. He rose again on Easter. And God raised up his body and set it on his right side and sent the Holy Spirit back to continue to manifest himself among the people. Church, God is in his word. I like Brother Ram saying that he was not only he was a prophet, he was a singer. There's a scripture that I just given this week in a little card to Sister Rachel and said that he would sing over us. You know what? What I find, church, is that even when you're going through, my God, if you could just ever hear the voice of God just singing over you, amen, just giving you comfort through the songs, through the words, the songs, and things like that, that's how he sings over you. He, yes, you know, he, I mean, sometimes even he prophesied in the midst of a song. Amen. See, it's something in the word, church. Oh, yes. The power, the strength, the everything you need, you're going to find it in the word. That's all you got to do, just keep quoting the word, sing the word, whatever you got to do, just stay with the word.
Yeah.
Because you're going to find God in the midst of his word. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we see you, God. So many things that we could share here today, Lord. I just pray that our thoughts would go a little further than what was presented. God, we would see you, Lord Jesus, in every promise that you have made, everything that you have stated. God, it's going to come to pass. There is nothing that can stop it from happening. My God, help us, Lord, as believers, to hold to this word. Even, Father, when Satan is coming against us with everything, God, let us just, it is written, Satan, it is written, it is written. We will see the devil flee if we would just fight with the word of God. That is our defense. And God will never, never be defeated if we keep that defense. Help us to take, Lord, the shield of faith. Lord, have our feet prepared, Lord, the preparation of gospel peace. Oh, God, a breastplate of righteousness. And Father, all these Lord, things that we can use to overcome the enemy. Lord Jesus, let us recognize the power that we have in your word. See, science, and, Lord, just as we go through the world, God, everybody is taking so much from your word. They're trying to, Lord, make it where it doesn't mean anything. Years ago, they kicked it out of the school, but if they would have kept it in the school, it would have helped some of the children be better kids. It might have kept some of them out of jail. God, the word is what did that. But when they push the word to the side, they don't want it in front of the courthouse anymore. If they would keep it there, maybe we could get, amen, people not even have to go to court because they'll be living the word. Father, it's so important to us. David said, your word, not anything else, not anything else, but your word, and we hid in our heart, might not sin against you. Help us to hide the word, God. Oh, God, not anything else. We're moved by so much, so many other things we read about on the internet. Lord, we don't want to be moved by that. We want to be moved by something that has stood the test of time. And that's the scripture. We don't want to add to it. We don't want to take away from it. We just want to believe it. And God, my prayer, those areas where we are falling short and unbelief seems to be taking over, God, we stay like that brother that approached you when he brought his son. He says, I brought him to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. It turned back. It returned insufficient funds when I took him to your disciples. But, Lord, I want to bring him to you because I believe you can do something. God, you told the disciples the only reason it didn't happen because of their lack of faith. And you asked the man, do you believe? And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's the way we all feel, Jesus. God, we believe this word, but help our unbelief. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe. You got to declare it with your own mouth. I believe the word of God. Glory. I believe the word of God. Say, I believe the word of God. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. I receive. Yes, I do, God. Say, I receive. From God, it's a gift from God to you. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing. It's a blessing with your name on it. Hallelujah. It's a gift from God to you. It's a gift from God to you. Nothing else. Oh, it's a blessing, it's a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing with your name, it's a blessing with your name on it. Every promise is a blessing, yes it is. Say, it's a blessing with your name.
somebody say, ain't no way, man, you can do anything like that. I mean, how? I'd rather be in heaven than be on the word. He said, no. I'd rather be on the word than in heaven. So why would you say something like that? Because the Bible says the heavens and earth will pass away, but my word remains forever. Let's stay with it, church. Let's stand up with everything we got. Amen. It will not fail. Anybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Solomon, if you would come and just close us out today. Amen. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for, and Brother Rain also being with us again today. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of the service. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. God is in His word. Fighting the virus about 3 days.
had any problems with that song. Neither did me and my wife do that with that box. Praise God. Amen. That's nothing but a devil. I told him exactly, you know, I said, you're a UPS man. If somebody brings you as a UPS man, and they're coming to you, another UPS man, delivered to your house, and it's a box of snakes, would you receive it? He said, no. Have complete preeminence in our lives, Father, until our change comes.